Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right, you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Neil, how do you get in contact with us if you want to tell us how great we are?
Oddly enough that you would ask there, Kevin. If you'd like to get in contact with us, fatguysatthemovies.com, obviously. That's probably where you found us anyways. But you can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can give us a call at area code 614-388-8735.
That's 388-TREK?
Yes, 388-TREK.
Even though you left Star Trek off the top greatest franchises.
Yeah, I know. We're gonna have to talk about that.
We'll talk about that later. The Trekkies, or rather the more politically correct, Trekkers. Are pissed off at you. They're
apparently, but I guess it's better than having Chewbacca.
You've got Vulcans and Ferengi coming.
I was never a big fan of them anyways, so they can bring it on. But you can also get us on iTunes if you go to the iTunes store and just type in Fat Guys at the Movies. We pop right up in all of our large greatness.
Like in a swimming pool. You put us at the bottom and bloop, we just fly right up to the top.
Absolutely. So, and on this week's show, we're going to talk about Knocked Up.
That's right.
And we're going to have a little fight over Mr. Brooks.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the trailer for Gracie, because we didn't see the actual movie.
And they actually screened it for us, but we didn't go see it because we had to go see Knocked Up. I chose Katherine Heigl's Fabulous Breasts over...
Right. We made the choice for all of our listeners, because we know that you would make that choice anyways.
Yes.
Knocked Up, Gracie, anyways, we're also going to talk some news. We got all kinds of news.
Tons of news.
Can't wait for that.
Because we were too lame to have an interview this week.
Yes, very lame this week. So, but Kevin...
Barack Obama was supposed to call in and have an interview with us and talk about Spider-Man.
Yeah, but he's a little busy right now.
Yeah.
With that whole, you know, campaigning for president thing.
Yeah, so we
can't expect a whole lot out of him.
I think we need to do, because this would be huge for the constituents.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton... mud wrestling on Fat Guys at the Movies. Can you get them on? Can you?
I think
talk
we can arrange
people?
That.
Let's talk to their people. See if we can.
Yeah, we'll get with their people.
Hillary, and Obama, wet down and dirty.
Wow.
So, anyways. Look for that in a future show. if either of them want to completely torpedo their political career,
absolutely.
Give us a call. What are we doing first? We're going to talk Gracie.
Let's talk about Gracie.
Let's go straight to the trailer.
Let's just roll through this.
Let's go straight to the money shot. Gracie. If you don't know anything about Gracie, it's about soccer and a girl playing soccer for her dead brother. Here's a clip.
I know how to beat Kingston next season. I'm going to play in Johnny's place. You said go out there and beat Kingston.
I didn't mean you.
Do you think a girl could ever play soccer?
That's a good one.
What is up with you?
People are talking. You're committing social suicide.
Hey, Gracie, I'm not going to wait forever.
It's just a lot harder because you're a girl.
It's this simple. You're not tough enough. They're going to cream you.
I am tough enough.
So, Kevin, is this like Bend It Like Beckham, sans Keira Knightley, substitute Elizabeth Shue?
With no Indians.
With no Indian
girl. And it doesn't take place in England.
That's even... This is like American?
This is an American soccer story.
With no David Beckham.
Based on a true... This is... And they did screen Gracie. This is not a slight on Picture House for not screening the movie. Right. Because they actually had the guts to screen it. It just was against the Knocked Up screening. I couldn't go see it.
Right.
You couldn't go see it again. Katherine Heigl's breasts won out over Carly Schroeder's breasts because she's probably too young to really look at breasts at all anyway, so...
Right.
And Elizabeth Shue, we saw her breasts in Leaving Las Vegas, so we don't need to see them again.
Among other films.
How many other films did she go topless on?
I don't know.
You saw sort of like the swell of her breast in Cocktail. I know all this stuff. My mind's like a steel trap when it comes to bare breasts in movies.
Yes.
Anyways, they're promoting this film heavily on the kids' shows. I got kids
really?
They watch like Nickelodeon. So, well, it's for preteen and teen, young teenager. It's about a girl who wants to be a soccer player, and her brother's a soccer star, and he gets killed in a car accident, and so she then decides to be the, you know, start kicking the ball for him and go into state championship or whatever. And it's like based on Elizabeth Shue's life. That's kind of the way they
built it. It's based on Elizabeth Shue's life?
Supposedly, it's based on Elizabeth Shue. And you know what? They did her and Andrew Shue. You remember the powerhouse actor from Smell Gross Place back about 15 years ago?
Yeah.
He's done nothing else since. No, he's not the dead one. They really did have a brother who died, but they were all soccer players as kids, and they had an older brother who did die in a car crash, but he like died when he was in his 20s. Like, when he was in high school, and it wasn't during the championship. It's really just about how Elizabeth Shue wanted to play soccer, and there was no girls' team, so she had to fight against the odds to be the girl playing soccer.
So she ended up being an actress instead?
Yeah, and then she like went to Harvard and didn't get a degree, and then became an actor, and now she wants to be a professional tennis player. And let's put it this way, Davis Guggenheim directed this. And
right.
He's the guy who did An Inconvenient Truth. And so his last movie was... You know, Al Gore giving a PowerPoint presentation. What could be more exciting than that, than a girl trying to play soccer?
I have nothing to say. I'm stunned. We've spent so much time in this movie already. And
you didn't know anything about this.
I thought, oh my God, here's a cool like indie flick that'll have like a lot of heart. And then hearing you talk about it, I'm like, this is a turd. I don't even want to see the trailer now.
I mean, I can't give it a preemptive suck or anything like that because they did screen it and I didn't see it.
This just sounds stupid.
Yeah, well.
It's directed by the guy who did Inconvenient Truth.
Yes, because like I said, what's more exciting than Al Gore doing a PowerPoint presentation? Girls playing soccer.
Yeah, that's like the guy who directs...
No, I like girls.
No, that's like the guy who directs the Oscars making a movie about... let's see, who's a washed-up actor... Who,
Lindsay Lohan.
No, it's like...
Charles Nelson Reilly just died this week. Maybe you can Reilly story.
That'd be like the guy who did the Oscars making a story about David Schwimmer's life. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Is David Schwimmer and his struggle to become attractive?
Exactly. Or his struggle to play baseball because his uncle played baseball and his uncle died or something. This is dumb.
Man, this is great because to keep going. I thought I was going to be loaded with venom on this and
holy
you just like,
smokes,
you unloaded on this
stupidest
film.
Stupidest thing ever.
You were like, you were bitter about it. And you know, we've eaten up all our time for this segment just talking about Gracie.
Yeah, we'll come back and we'll talk about something else because I don't feel ready to talk about anything good yet.
Before we go, we're going to play you the trailer for the clip from Mr. Brooks, which will be our next Fat Guy Smackdown. So here we go.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
You've been a good boy for a long time. You know you want to do this.
Hello. What is it that I can help you with?
I've been watching that couple for months. Until I saw you kill them.
We are going to have so much fun.
Here we are back at Fat Guys at the Movies. You are listening to the most influential voices in film. That's what we've been called. Yes, siree.
Yes, and we're going to talk about the most influential movie of the week, maybe. I don't know.
I doubt it, but we could talk a little bit about Mr. Brooks.
I can't really back that up. So,
if you want to talk about Mr. Brooks, well, Mr. Brooks is a piece of crap that was being released by MGM, starring Kevin Costner, in another winning role for the old man.
Hey, now, I want to defend this movie a little bit. I thought Kevin Costner was pretty good in this film.
He's got that. Kevin Costner's not a bad actor. He's just not a versatile actor. He's like a male Julia Roberts. There are certain roles he can play, and Mr. Brooks is not one of them.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad.
This is
It wasn't like he had, like, in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where his accent, like, faded in, faded out.
No, he kept the same forced, nerdy voice. Kevin Costner's like, would you like me to do this for you? I mean, sounds like did you see Grandma's Boy? He sounds like the guy from Grandma's Boy who was the robot.
I don't watch that crap.
That was a great movie, man.
It was awesome. My God.
Grandma's Boy was awesome.
Can we stop so that I can hit you?
No.
Because that movie sucked.
Stay back.
Anyways, I like this movie. I thought it was very intelligently done. I thought not only was Costner good, but Costner and William Hurt together on screen was kind of this very cool tandem of good and evil and resistance versus...
My problem with that is it was too over the top. Movies like Mr. Brooks underestimate, you know, evil and dimension, all that kind of thing, because they try and make it goofy and funny. And Ed Harris, not Ed Harris, Ed Harris would have been better than William Hurt. But William Hurt was in there, and he was like being ha ha ha, being a big joke and goofy clown, and he was playing the alter ego, sort of like the devil on the shoulder for Mr. Brooks, even though he didn't have an angel on his other shoulder. It was apparently out.
Well, he was
for a sandwich.
It was more of he had this evil side that he was resisting against.
Yeah, but he was too goofy. I mean, evil is evil. Have you watched?
Yeah, but he was
interviews
having
with
fun
serial killers
being evil.
They're evil, but no, serial killers don't
gotta
have
give it a little
fun
bit,
being evil. That's a problem. So many movies now are made where you got the serial killer who's crazy, cracking jokes like Freddy Krueger. We were talking about it. I remember one of our colleagues was like, "Well, name another movie." And I'm like, "American Psycho." You know, that was another one where they got a little goofy on it. And, you know, give me the cold, hard Kevin Spacey from Seven. That's a serial killer.
Well, see,
that's a serial killer you can know.
Yeah, but that's just such a unique performance, though. That's such a unique character that
Kevin Costner couldn't pull.
I don't. You're right. Kevin Costner couldn't have done that. But in this context, in this movie, this works.
He was okay. That wasn't the worst part. The worst part was Demi Moore's side story, and it turns into some Michael Bay film at the end where they're like shooting down this hallway and
Now don't even go there with Michael Bay. This hallway scene turns into this weird like Charlie's Angels. Like, it was like McGee took over for a second. And it's like
the regular director was out, you know, got sick.
Got sick that day, and like McGee's like, "We need to throw some techno music in here. She's gonna shoot out this light.
Get some
and
flashy going on."
And
they're like,
"We're gonna make the gunshots really loud."
The worst is everyone's got a hand cannon. It's like it sounds like a bazooka, those jetpacks that they shoot off in Iraq, and they're like 12 feet from each other, and they can't shoot each other. It's
exactly
like watching two stormtroopers from a Star Wars movie trying to shoot each other, because they're the worst shots in the world, despite what Obi-Wan Kenobi said.
Yeah.
So no, Mr. Brooks was a pain.
All right. Well, whatever.
Lame.
I liked it. So let's grade it. I'm giving it a kind of rocks.
Kind of
it was creepy and enjoyable. And when I walked away from it, I wasn't disappointed.
Creepy and enjoyable. Isn't that that's what your last date said about you? Creepy, but enjoyable.
Hey, you didn't see how it ended. So.
Actually, I did. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out.
That was the enjoyable part. Everything leading up to that, creepy.
Creepy, yeah. So. The next film, let's move on. I don't want to spend any more time talking about Mr. Brooks. You don't want to spend any more time talking about Gracie. Let's go back to Katherine Heigl's Fabulous Breasts.
Absolutely.
Knocked Up.
Play the trailer.
Okay, here we go. let's see what we got.
Hello.
Hi, this is Allison. I don't know if you remember me.
I have something I really need to tell you. I'm pregnant.
With a baby?
Yes.
Then what are you hitting on me for?
We should really just try to get to know each other and give this a real shot.
Okay, I know we didn't plan this, but I'm on board.
Yay!
Marriage is like an unfunny version of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Should we have sex tonight?
Ugh.
But it doesn't last 22 minutes. It lasts forever.
I'm just really constipated. Do you really want to?
Well, now.
And that's favorite scene of the movie.
And I tell you, Paul Rudd almost steals this movie. There's a bunch of people that almost steal this movie. You got Paul Rudd, who's just fantastic, and just he hits every punchline just like you heard in the trailer. Well, now. And then Ryan Seacrest even has a little cameo where he just goes off about celebrities and how they ruin his day. And this is fantastic.
Like Ryan Seacrest, who gives a crap? I mean, who really? It's like us. I mean, what's even more pathetic than a guy who just interviews celebrities? It's guys, fat guys sitting around talking about a guy who interviews celebrities.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the most. Or maybe people listening to guys talking about a guy who just interviews celebrities.
No, that's not pathetic at all.
No, those
more
people
should do
people.
That.
More,
yeah, we love all more. Of you. Anyways, I have to say this is one of the funniest movies I've seen all year. I laughed pretty hard the whole way.
Say funniest movie? I don't know. It's going to be a toss-up between Blades of Glory, because that was a funny movie.
Yeah.
But it was. I loved it. I was explaining to my wife, because she wanted to see it, but I said, no. You stay at home with the kids, woman. And I smacked her. No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
In classic Kevin Carr form,
she punched me in the face. Is what happened. But she had to stay home because we weren't able to get a babysitter. And I was telling her, I'm like, it's not really. There's a story, but the best parts are just sort of these random slice of life things of
the little quips.
That have nothing to do that a normal person would have edited out of the movie and would have made an absolutely awful film.
Right. And there's even parts where it feels like it's going to become this very kind of formulaic, cliched, romantic comedy. Just this,
because if you took it all out, it would be.
Yeah, if you took all the really good stuff out, it would just be this Hollywood turd burglar. And but there's even moments
from McDonald's Land.
It's my own version. But there's moments in this movie where Judd Apatow, and I think this is like part of his genius as a filmmaker, he puts in these little moments and he's like, hey, this is just to remind you that you're watching one of my movies instead of this other crap.
Yeah.
Birthing scene where he goes too far. That's all I'm gonna say.
Have
he
you
just
ever
goes
seen
too far.
A live birth?
Only in like seventh grade.
No. Where were you at?
No, on video, like the sex ed class back before they didn't teach condoms or whatever.
My wife, she gave birth a C-section, which is fascinating because they like slice her open and out comes a baby.
It's disgusting.
Coolest. No, but that's no. That's cool. What's disgusting is a vaginal birth because it is just...
They call those natural births. I know you wanted to say vaginal on the radio.
Vaginal. I love vaginal. But they say, oh, they see the head? The head, it doesn't look like a head. It looks like, you know, like tapioca pudding wrapped in saran wrap. It's disgusting. It is the most hideous thing I have ever seen happen to a human being in my life.
I think I just threw up my mouth.
I got over it. You know what I mean? But it's because Judd Apatow is married to Leslie Mann, who, by the way, Leslie, when you get tired of Judd Apatow and you want to get some fat guy loving, just give me a call. Call us at 388- track area code 614.
Nice,
because she's hot, man. Almost as hot as Katherine Heigl's okay, but man, Leslie Mann, geez. But anyways, the two of them, they have kids, and the kids are in the movie. That the kids who play her kids are
those
hers
are his
and
kids?
Judd Apatow's.
Nice.
Yeah, and you can tell this movie is just him venting about being married, about having kids, and all the stuff that irritates him. And it's hilarious because if you're married or you're in a relationship, you're gonna love this movie.
I think Seth Rogen too. Really, when you look at this cast, there's no real holes in the cast.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people kind of knocked on Seth Rogen, saying, "Oh, you know, he's kind of that secondary guy. He can't do it without like a Steve Carell there with him." But he held his own. He's very funny.
He
has this weird charm to him.
I don't think he's
the stoner thing.
I wouldn't expect to see him in War of the Worlds Part 2.
Right, but he's very funny.
Yeah, no, he's
just
great.
Naturally, his personality.
He could have a career like Mike Myers, where he just says, "I'm going to do this, and it's going to be the same kind of shtick," and be very successful at it. But realize he's never going to be the leading man. He's not going to be, he's not going to take Gerard Butler's place in 300.
Right. Because nobody could.
Although that would have been funny.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, so I think by far the pick of the week.
Knocked up.
Very, very funny. Rocks. Definitely rocks.
Rocks.
So go
see
it. We got
to take a break.
We definitely have to take a break.
We got to move. So Knocked Up rocks, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the break.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly. Like a cigarette, but you kiss me.
And we're back, and we're gonna do a little box office predicting.
Yeah.
Let's.
You caught me off guard there. I must have been napping.
Yeah, you started to like doze off. It's that comfy seat that you have.
I am.
You have the more comfortable seat in the new studio.
It's leather, so my butt's sweating.
That's the whole point. I want to make like you just the most uncomfortable person.
That's the point. You want my butt sweat. Here?
Now that I think of it, probably not the best idea. But anyways, let's look at some estimates here. As far as theater counts, which we talked last week about Pirates being in over 4,300 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Or 4,300 theaters, over 11,000 screens. None of the releases this week are going to come close to that. You got Knocked Up in 2,800 theaters.
I do have to give a shout out to my friends out in Salt Lake City. Because
they were number one and two.
Number one and two theaters, like over $100,000. Two of the theaters in Salt Lake City did over $100,000 for Pirates.
Those Mormons, they dig on Jack Sparrow. So
And I claim partial control of that because I'm on KSL Every night on Friday, every Friday night to talk about movies.
Nice. And I think I could say Pirates. I hope it's not every night because
not every night because
I couldn't. I can only handle you twice a week.
That's right. So. And you demanded to do twice a week. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Anyways, so Knocked Up's in 2,873 theaters. Mr. Brooks is in 2,400. Gracie in 1,000, which is big for a kind of a limited release.
Well, you know, it's got that powerhouse Elizabeth Shue behind it.
Yeah, big time. So
they're still saying Oscar winner Elizabeth Shue.
Oh man.
Or that's nominee. She didn't win, did she?
Oscar nominee. She didn't win. But so I think Knocked Up is going to do well. I think it will.
It's not going to top the weekend.
It's definitely not going to top the weekend. I think it's going to go Pirates and then Knocked Up. Because I think Knocked Up is going to have a good audience.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Pirates.
I think it'll take out Shrek, but not by much. It'll be
Shrek's going to be nipping at its heels because Shrek's really the only big family movie right. coming. Yeah, Surf's Up coming up next week. But
right. And I think it's Spider-Man, obviously, a dead duck. I'm going to predict it right now. Mr. Brooks beats Spider-Man this weekend.
Well, yes. I don't know. Dude, look at the track record for MGM releases has been just pitiful lately.
Yeah, that's true. Casino Royale is like the only good one.
That's more Sony. The MGM line has been sloughed off.
Right.
Under different... I mean, you're talking stuff like Material Girls, Hannibal Rising.
Which came out on DVD this week and no one even noticed.
Who cares?
So... but
you want to watch Hannibal Lecter go see Fractal.
I think Mr. Brooks has the ability to beat Spider-Man, but not by much. It's going to be really close.
I think Mr. Brooks is just going to get lost.
You never know. Marketing's pretty strong. I've been seeing commercials. Well, plus, I like the movie, so.
I saw commercials for Grindhouse kind of all over the place.
But that was just an atrocity against humanity.
I loved Grindhouse.
So, no, the fact that it didn't do well.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Oh, well. So, but anyways, your prediction on Pirates this weekend. Where's it gonna? How many millions more?
72 million.
72. I'm gonna pick a little closer to 100. I'm gonna say 85 to 90-ish. Okay. And then I'm gonna say Knocked Up in like the $40 million range. It's a very solid opening. 60 for a movie
million
like that.
For me.
60.
Right. Million.
I try to be modest.
Knocked
but.
Up. 30 million for one breast. 30 million for the other breast for Katherine Heigl.
I would, if I had the extra money, I'd pay that just for the breasts. Anyways, so that's cool. That's all we got for box office predictions. That finishes up the first half hour when we come back.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for a little bit of entertainment news, and then we're going to have all kinds of cool topics to talk about, and maybe some fan mail in the second
half. Maybe.
So we will see you on the flip side.
Ta-ta for now. Fat Guys at the Movies coming at you on the internet, live. Well, not really live. It's a podcast, for crying out loud, and you can subscribe to it.
We're live-ish.
Live-ish. We are live right now. It's a live recording.
Yes.
Get us fatguysatthemovies.com, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or 614-388-8735. Give me a call, Leslie Mann, and we'll talk. What do we got going on in the news today?
Oh, we got all kinds of news. First thing I got is that Christopher Nolan is from the USA Today. Christopher Nolan came out and said that he is going to film 4 action sequences of The Dark Knight in IMAX format. And also the IMAX format will introduce the Joker. So, and this is a big step because this is the most any one movie will be filmed in IMAX. Now, you're gonna say, wait a second. I've heard IMAX before.
You know, well, they just blow up the print.
They just take the 35mm print, blow it up for IMAX.
If you haven't seen an actual originated on IMAX film,
it's projected,
it is a huge difference. Big difference than just a 35mm print blown up to IMAX.
Right.
I mean, it's like literally, it's kind of like watching, if you watch some independent film like Waitress, which I think, was that 35? That was probably 16. I would imagine.
I'm pretty sure that was a great film that you obviously don't understand.
Well, no, but whatever. no, but I'm saying an independent film like something like Waitress or Boys Don't Cry or Clerks or something like that's shot on 16mm that's then blown up to 35 and you go see it in the theaters, it's a little grainier. You can tell the difference.
Right.
Whereas a movie like, that's originated on 35mm like film looks great, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but to see something on IMAX, it's so incredibly clear. It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah. So I think, and not only is it cool for the sake of the big entrance of the Joker is going to be an IMAX, which it will look better in a normal theater as well, because it's like taking high definition, putting it on your normal TV. It still looks better. It's just not full high definition.
Well, yeah.
So
your resolution is defined though by your viewing device.
Right. That's totally for another show though.
You're such a technical.
But I think
how many times did you have to change your pants when you heard this news?
This was kind of big, because not only if you browse Film School Rejects, you saw the pictures. There was a kind of a picture of him with his green hair.
Which
a
I have to say,
that he looks cool, man.
That first picture of the Joker, I was like, I don't know.
This new
looks
one,
like he's from a Marilyn Manson video.
He's cool.
This one, I think, looks cool. Now, if only Heath Ledger doesn't mumble.
Right. As long as he doesn't, that'll be the big kicker. Is can he pull off the charismatic, sinister Joker thing? It's a big step for Hollywood. It could be worse. It's a major film going in a direction saying, IMAX is kind of the cool thing. Even studios, there was the guy from Warner Brothers was saying, I don't have time to look it up now, but he was saying that, it's not necessarily even a money thing. It's just a quality thing. They don't necessarily make a whole lot of money off of IMAX.
IMAX,
especially because of the cost.
It makes something like even the most best grossing things come out like 20 million, something
right,
like that.
Right, that was like 300 in its opening weekend. It was like $15 million in IMAX.
Yeah, and I mean, even like the stuff that's directly made for IMAX, again, it's like 26 million, 25,
right.
20.
So,
and it's end of its run, when it plays in like the seven theaters in the country.
But I think for video and audio files like myself, very cool step.
Yes, yeah, so. Can't wait. What else is going on
along,
in the movie world?
Jeffrey Katzenberg of DreamWorks confirmed Shrek 4 and Shrek 5, and that's it. And this saddens
me. Did he confirm that Shrek 4 and 5 might be better or worse? Is it on this downhill slope?
He obviously didn't say what.
How many more fart jokes can we take from the Big Green Ogre?
I don't know. I liked Shrek 3, but I will agree with a lot of people when they say that it was rushed and there wasn't a whole lot of plot. You can tell they're running out.
Well, that's my biggest complaint with Shrek 3 was I've seen it all before. It's been there, done that. And we're going to be there and do that again twice.
Right.
So it's not even like Spider-Man where you can do new and interesting things and bring in new villains. And even like Spider-Man 3.
You can do new things. I don't know about interesting things.
There's a whole, there's what, 50 years of comic book history. 55 years of comic book
history. Yeah, I think with Shrek, it's really going to, the next one's not going to be that good.
Yeah.
I like Shrek. This is just them coming out and saying, hey, we just want to make more money.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I stand by a colleague of ours, Dave Metzger from Bullseye.com, had a great review about Shrek the Third. And he said, look, they start out making fun of dinner theater. How hard is that? I mean, that's the launching point for the movie. And I mean, what are we going to then make fun of in Shrek 4? I mean, it's the wells run dry.
Yep. So.
Donkey.
All right, moving on. What else? Last thing we've got.
Last story for the... We got to go to break after the story.
Last story before the break. Zooey Deschanel, who's very hot.
Very hot. In
fact, one of my secret crushes.
Leslie, man, could you call Zooey Deschanel and then...
And bring her over.
Bring her over.
To the studio.
To the studio, the magic studio in the sky.
And then we'll have Kevin leave and...
No, we won't.
We'll have
I'll leave
a
with
nice
Zooey and Leslie.
So, but she's been cast in M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
Will she be like naked throughout the way Bryce Dallas Howard was in Lady in the Water?
I don't know. My hope is just that he makes a good movie again. Because hell,
Lady in the Water
was terrible.
I liked Lady in the Water.
I fell asleep and Bryce Dallas Howard...
That's because you were drunk.
that's because I started drinking about 20 minutes into the movie. I was like, I gotta go to the bar. This
Speaking
one
of
sucks.
Which, look ahead. We're gonna be doing drunken commentary at some point in
yes,
the near future.
It's gonna be funny. We're gonna try and get somebody to actually put it on a DVD too.
That would be so awesome. Something tells me I don't think they're going to put us on a DVD.
We're kind of big.
I'll tell you, if you are a film, independent filmmaker, send us your movie. If you want us to do a commentary on your movie, we will do a commentary on your movie, and we will drink throughout.
Yes. And it'll be entertaining. So that's all I have for news.
Okay. Well, we might have more because we got a whole
segment. Oh, yeah. We got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about in the next segment. So.
Well, we'll get out of your hair, and we'll be back in, as Chuck Woolery said, to...
And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin, we got another voicemail.
We got a voicemail? Was it from Leslie Mann or Zoe Deschanel?
No, actually, but I did see the thing ringing while we were talking here. Oh, she must be calling us. So they're calling us now, even though this won't be online for like another day or so.
She knows. She can feel my manlyhood just ripple through the...
You have a connection with Leslie Mann. The voicemail's from Adam at Beercast.
Constipated or not, I take Leslie Mann.
Dude.
I'm sorry. I'm stepping
just,
on your...
Just stop. Your intro. You're killing me here. You're killing me, Smalls. Adam at Veercast called us. The feud continues between us and Veercast. So I'm going to go ahead and play the clip here.
You mean
here.
That whore Adam called me?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he wants his money, seriously. So I'm going to go ahead and play the clip, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Hey, this is for Douchebags at the Movies. This is Adam from Veercast. I just wanted to say I think it's funny. You guys have an entire show about movies, and you've never once mentioned the greatest movie of all time, Sleepaway Camp.
And there you have it.
Sleepaway Camp?
Douchebags of the Movies? Are you serious?
Hey, wait, can you check to see whether that Earl's taken? we should get that, and if you go to Douchebags at the Movies, it'll forward you to Fat Guys at the Movies. Actually, it'll forward you to a splash page that say Veercast sucks. Actually, not Veercast sucks, just Adam sucks.
AdamAngeloSucks.com.
I'll bet you that's probably already taken.
Yes.
Because it's well known.
By like four of Adam's ex-girlfriends.
That's right.
But I like Adam. I'm not going to make fun
See,
of him.
See, oh, no.
He defended me on the last show.
You stepped into the bear trap on that one. You're not going to be his nemesis, too.
That sucks. But we're going to have to watch Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah, you know,
and talk about
it
next week.
I've seen the cover box, and isn't it like this half-naked chick with a knife, bloody knife?
I have no idea. I've never even heard of the movie.
You're a pansy, though. You don't watch horror movies.
But this is prompting me to watch it, though.
Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll do a drunken commentary
for Sleepaway Camp. And then at least one person will listen to it.
That's right.
It'll be Adam Angulo from Veercast.
And we'll get a call. It'll be like, hey, Douchebags at the Movies. I saw you did Sleepaway Camp, and you suck.
Your commentary sucked. So, but then I'll disagree. I'll be like, yeah, dude, I was half in the bag by the time we started. So
Adam, he's gunning for you here. Neil's gunning for you. You got a new nemesis.
Don't try and pawn this off on me. We all know. We heard you called them out last week.
Tim defended me.
They like me. No, nobody's defending you.
Tim defended me.
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yes.
So anyways,
Lisa defended me.
Yeah. And she also said that people should shave their heads and grow fat, or the guys from Veercast at least should do that.
But see, everybody's doing that because we're so influential. In fact,
we're bringing that look back.
We ran some numbers and we found out that between the two of us, right, with all of our media empire outlets, you know, radio and television and internet and all that kind of stuff, we reach more people than Katie Couric does.
Yes, we do.
We do, because her numbers came out this week and they suck.
Yes.
And
I'm pretty sure the 3 minutes that I was on TV last week were, more watched than Katie Couric.
Yeah, like when Katie Couric's new husband dies, like her old one did, she's going to lose half her viewership.
Oh, geez.
I have no sympathy for Katie Couric and her dead husbands. I'm sorry.
Do you know why
I hate Katie? Because it was right after her husband died, and she was like, oh, everyone stay away, the funeral, it's a private thing. And then Columbine happened, and she was there with a microphone in 14-year-old kids' faces saying, tell me what it was like to see your best friend's head blow up. And she's a complete media whore, and she's losing her looks, and her face is wrinkling up like a shriveled prune, and it's just some 80-year-old man's got to eat her and then crap her out, and that's the only good that she's going to do for anybody in the world.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay.
With my assassination.
Holy smokes. We're getting a nasty phone call. What channel is she on? I don't even know.
Soon none, but she's on CBS. Whatever.
We're going to get like a nasty phone call from CBS. Hey, you guys,
we're gonna get
can
a call.
You not say that about Katie Couric anymore? I'll be like, I didn't say
we're
anything,
man. We're
going
to get a call from Adam Angulo from Veercast. Going to be like, hey, man, Katie Couric is a saint, and she's beautiful, and I love her. Shut up. Listen to Veercast.
Yeah.
That's going to be his email, voicemail.
Wow. There's not a whole lot that I can say after that Katie Couric.
I unloaded
that,
that
is impressive.
You unloaded on Gracie, man.
So
what's our next
moving
news?
On
do we have any more news?
The Ocean's 13 thing, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, they're not screening that.
You're also angry about that.
I'm mad. That's not on the boards at all. They're not going to screen that for the critics, which
that blows my mind. That
is it getting good press from Cannes and stuff like that?
I don't know. I haven't looked it up yet.
It would be the second I don't know. I was kind of excited to see this movie. And if you want to win a poster for it or something like that, go to 7mpictures.com. There's a...
We'll have a link up.
It's free.
Film School Rejects.
You only have to put in your email address so I can contact you if you win. I'm not going to pimp it out to anybody. Except maybe to Neil Miller and Film Guys at Film School Rejects so he can, you know, send you, you know, ads about cream pie videos. Yeah. But
it's at an 83. It's got 6 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 83%.
Yeah.
Well, Emmanuel Levy,
Where's he from?
EmmanuelLevy.com. You don't know who Emmanuel Levy is?
He shows up on Rotten Tomatoes now and then.
Todd McCarthy from Variety liked it. He said it was as smooth as a good mojito. He must have gotten trashed.
I was about to say, what did he do? Get a massage? What were you doing, Todd?
He's in France with like some, you know, bourgeoisie.
Some one-legged prostitute.
Oh my God. All right, never mind. Ocean's 13 probably sucks.
Well, this is what worries me about Ocean's 13 is that it's Soderbergh, and you'd think that they'd be like, hey, let's put every Soderbergh movie in front of the press because, you know, he's looked beloved. And the first two were good. And I've seen the trailers. It looks like a decent film, but I don't know. I'm terrified now.
I don't know.
They're not screening Hostel for us, but that's no big surprise.
It's a horror flick, and nobody likes those anyways.
They didn't screen Delta Farce, for crying out loud.
Oh, for good reason. but yeah, so they're very confusing on Ocean's 13. I don't understand. Yes. We got to get with one.
Which leads into the other thing about you've got another news story here about screenings and pirates and how we don't matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. On filmstew.com, this actually came through Yahoo, Filmstew.
Yahoo!
Where they talk about pirates and how pirates got panned by critics. And it still did well, obviously.
This is nothing new. This is what blows my mind. This is nothing new.
Right. They always say critics don't...
Critics,
you know,
pan movies all the time. That do. The Bodyguard and Indecent Proposal, like, 15 years ago were the biggest movies of the year, 2 of the worst movies ever made, and critics hated them. Nobody doesn't see a movie that a critic pans.
Right.
People will still go see it. You know, you could have had Spider-Man 3 come out with a 0% rating. I know you thought it deserved it, but it could have come out with a 0% rating. It would have still made $150 million.
Right. I think the only time, and you've said this before, the only time that critics really matter when it comes to a movie is when a movie tries to sell itself as like this big critic should have all this critical acclaim, like last year with All the King's Men. It should have had all this critical acclaim, didn't get it, and people are like, oh well, I guess it's not that good.
Yeah, because when All the King's Men was panned by the critics, people are like, wow, because the art house crowd wasn't going to go see it. Same thing happened with The Good German, another Soderbergh's latest film, where it just got completely trashed by the critics, and you would expect Soderbergh to get a lot of praise. Even Ocean's 13, I could explain why critics wouldn't like it because it's a much more mainstream film. Well, the only other time it does that we have any sort of impact is if a movie turns out to be something that it's not pretending to be.
Right.
Like it's trying to be something, and you go see it and you're like, well, no, it was supposed to be a romantic comedy, but it really turned into
a
murder horror movie, and people are like, well, I'm not going to go see it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not news.
So, thank you, Brent Simon from filmstew.com, for wasting our time.
We love you.
Yeah.
We got to go to break.
Cool.
We're going to come back. And we might hear some...
Fan mail. Maybe. I don't know.
Fat Guys at the Movies are back. You can reach us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And in fact, I think we actually got something in that email box other than Cialis ads and ideas for MILFs.
Yes. So we finally, someone communicated with us instead of just signing us up for stuff they know you need. Anyways, so, but this is an email comes from Jeremy in Massachusetts.
The last thing I need is more Cialis.
I don't even know. All right, so Jeremy Massachusetts writes to us, and he says, hey, guys, I just started listening to your cast. I love them. I was listening to your number 8 episode about the Transformers and thought that you would like to know that there is a comic book prequel for Transformers. They are coming out with one a month till the movie, and they started 3 months ago, so there are 3 out with one more to come. But it was nice because it gave background information of what the movie is about. Keep the casts coming, ! Thanks, Jeremy, for the letter.
Thanks, Jeremy. We love Jeremy. I do hope it's Leslie Mann that's writing as a fake name.
Yeah. So thanks for the letter. And we're going to try and find these Transformers things.
Yeah.
Because that sounds cool. I didn't even know about that.
Call your peeps over at Paramount and see if they'll send us the comics. Yeah. They sent us the 28 Weeks Later comic early, or 28 Days Later.
Yeah, but that was Fox. We'll see if
that was Fox.
We'll see if Paramount can.
I got Pathfinder. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
I.
Either way, I will search these down on the internet, and we'll be able to kind of give an educated opinion.
Yeah, Transformers. Why not?
We'll save that for the early show next week.
That's right. We'll be talking. Yeah, again, talk a little bit about the early show. We got an internet exclusive show.
Generally, Sunday night, Monday morning ish.
Box office recap.
We're gonna do a little box office recap. We've moved our DVD. As you'll notice in this episode, we did nothing about DVDs.
We mentioned Hannibal Rising.
We mentioned Hannibal Rising because that was all that came out. But we're gonna do a full on DVD recap.
It'll be hardcore.
We'll have topics. We have fun. I think someone got abused last week, and it wasn't me. So,
who got abused last week?
The hotel room Asian.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. Yeah.
Go listen to episode 10
if you want to hear more
about that.
Go back
and listen to episode 10 to find out what happens to Asians in hotel rooms.
And usually on these reviews, we'll also review movies if we catch them. No, I'm not going to see Gracie this weekend.
If we catch them on the back end.
Yeah, I'm not going to see Gracie this weekend, but probably next week you'll be able to talk to us about... Hear what we have to think about Ocean's 13 and Hostel, because they're not...
Yeah.
We're just going to review Surf's Up next week. That's all we're going to talk about.
Sweet. Hopefully we get an interview for that week.
It'd be great. You know, I should have thought of this back during Disturbia and got an interview with Shia LaBeouf, and we could have used it all summer long.
Yes.
We used it for Disturbia.
And
Transformers. Transformers, Surf's Up, that sex tape film he's making with Lindsay Lohan.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
But that's it.
That's all we got.
Look at us next week. FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. We're signing out.
Adios.